service, Lord, and we're asking, God, for you to come to, Lord, anoint us, Father, with your spirit, Lord, to bring that which you've laid on our hearts to be a help and guidance to the people, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, for Brother Anthony's request for Jalen this morning. Dear God, you'll touch him, Father, and heal him from his fever. We ask for your blessings on this service in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 2, this morning. And I'm going to be kind of skipping down through the verses here to read the promises to the overcomers. And that's what we want to focus on this morning is overcoming. I want to begin reading it, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, him will I give power over the nations. Now if we go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Now if you could turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Begin reading at verse 6. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You may be seated. What we've just read is from the book of Revelations is many promises to the overcomers. And you realize that reading down through here that overcoming, it's an ongoing thing. When we come to be a Christian, why, to live an overcoming life means you're going to be in a battle. There's going to be things you're going to be faced with, situations, trials, temptations, many things that you'll be faced with that you'll have to overcome. And it says that he that keepeth my works, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. So there's the only time that we look and we just say, well, maybe we've overcome for our last time, our last thing, is when the rapture takes place. And even then, you realize that after the 3.5 years that we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we We've got to come down and overcome all them that are on the face of the earth that didn't make it. Battle of Armageddon. And then after the end of the millennium, why, it says that those nations, they'll rise up against the city of God. And they'll have to be overcome again. So overcoming is an ongoing thing for us. And especially in this life, on this side, in your Christian walk, every day there's going to be something you're going to have to overcome. And our enemy is Satan. And friends, he's going to present you with things every day, in every situation. As Brother Branham said, he chose the battleground of your mind. And he battles you in your mind. He, you know, people today, it seems like they so easily understand all the diseases of the body. But when it comes to sickness of the mind, it's like they're like, well, just get over it. You can't just get over diabetes. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to get over high blood pressure. I'm just going to just think through it. Look, friends, faith is not mind over matter. Faith is not intellectual. It's not repeating to yourself something over and over and over again, trying to convince yourself of something. Faith is believing. And the thing we've got to believe in is not ourselves, not our ability, not our thinking, but what we've got to believe in is the Word of God. And he says, heavens and earth will pass away, but not his word. His word will never pass away. His word is eternal. Friends, look, they could take all the Bibles in the world and burn them. That wouldn't do away with God's word. The Bibles are just recordings of God's word that we read on paper so that we can read it. But that's not his word. His word's what he spoke. People can sit down and try to refute the Bible and say, well, you know, this over here and that over there, and try to refute this and that and try to argue it intellectually. That's not God's word. You can't argue God's word. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. That's what we're feasting on now. We're eating of the tree of life, friends. You look at the denominational churches, and you wonder if you would ever go attend, and I'm not talking about emotions now. I'm talking about real life. There's no life. Why? They're not eating of the tree of life. They're eating of the man-made ideas. They're eating of their denominational doctrines. Well, the church says this and the church says that. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you something. The church, what they say is not eternal. The only words that are eternal is God's word. But they depend on what the church says. And that's why you see that if you would look back through history of time, you'll see that holiness has gradually went out the door. Why? Because men have changed their minds and views concerning different things. It's okay now for women to cut their hair. It's It's okay now for women to wear pants. It's okay now for this and makeup and this and that and the other. And friends, I'll tell you what I find. I find that even people who at one time claimed to believe this message, when it comes down to it and they really want to live a life of the world and yet they want to remain religious, they'll find a church with a different God than the God of your church. They'll find a church with a God that will allow all these things so they can feel all right, so they can still feel religious. But they can't throw a javelin at God. You know, so they've got to throw it at you. They got to throw it at the church they're leaving, the pastor they're leaving. They made me leave. I have never made anybody live worldly. Anybody who's left this church and lived worldly, it ain't my fault. But watch how people try to stay religious about it. You know, it's one thing you see somebody just walk away and say, well, forget this, man. I want to drink. I'm just going to drink. I want to do drugs. I'm just going to do drugs. But them strong spirits are the religious spirits. They want to live. But still feel good about themselves. Still find a way to justify themselves. Still feel religious. And you get around them and they snub you. Like you done something to them. I ain't done nothing to them. Their problem is not with me. Their problem is with God. Their problem is with God's word. But watch them die. Watch their lives. You know, when you start seeing the world creep in more and more on them, you know what you're seeing? You're watching them die. They're dying. I'm not talking about natural death. I'm talking about a spiritual death. That's the first death. They die spiritually. And when a person dies spiritually, friends, they are utterly cut off from God. You see the signs of them dying. Like Brother Jim said to me one time, he said, why is it seems like when somebody leaves the message, some woman, it seems like she's got to make up for all the years she didn't wear makeup. She's got to make up for it all at one time. I'll just put on 10 years worth of makeup. They put on more makeup than the worldly people wear. What is it? It's a spirit. And it's a sign they've died. They're not eaten of the tree of life. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look what Revelation said the second death was. It was the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Said that's the second death. They'll die if time tarries a natural death in this life. But there's coming a general resurrection when all will be resurrected. When the sea will give forth its dead. When all the earth will give forth its dead. And then there's a judgment. And then they stand before God's judgment and they're judged according to what they done with the word.
That's right.
Did they accept it or reject it? And I can tell you something, friends, if they're standing before the judgment seat, it's sure sign they didn't accept it.
That's right.
Because accepting the word, he that believeth on me, in my words, will not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, eternal life. The second death that it talks about is once they've been judged. And at this point, you know, when you die from this world, in this life, your soul, a person's soul doesn't die. It goes, if a person dies in this life without Christ, their soul goes to the regions of the lost. A nightmare, Brother Branham called it. A never waking nightmare. One day, they're going to stand in the body they sinned in before the judgment seat. And then after their judgment, then everything about them is going to be destroyed. That's the second death. That's what it's talking about. Not just the body, but the soul. Their very existence, that they ever existed, is completely wiped away. Their names are removed from the book of life. It's like they never existed. That's the second death. But those that overcome will not be heard of the second death. We're going to see this morning, how do you overcome? What is it that you need to have to overcome? What do you need to do? He that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. We're eating of the hidden manna now. Go and visit the denominations and see what they're eating. They can't live overcoming lives because they're not eating of the hidden manna. They're eating of death. I read an article this week about a woman down in Georgia. She's 114 years old. She just celebrated her 114th birthday. She lives with her daughter, who's 96 years old. Her dad lived to be 100. But they were asking her, the reason it was in the paper was because they were asking her, what was the secret? People are looking, what's the secret for long life? She said, God's blessed me. It ain't how they, it ain't how I've done. It's God had just blessed me with life. But people are looking for how can I live for, how can I keep living? Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm getting kind of tired of this life. If this is what living is, I'm getting tired of it. This life, as a human, you look for little bright spots, something you can look forward to from day to day to get you through one day and into the other. We'll look forward to trips. We'll look forward to vacations. During the week, maybe We look forward to going out to eat on Friday. Something to brighten our day. But that's this human side in this life. But what do we, as children of God, what is it that we hold so dear that we look forward to? The rapture. Receiving a body change and leaving this life behind. I'm tired of this life. I'm done with this life. I get tired of some of the people of this life. You know, friends, look, there is nobody. Now, we do it sometimes, you know, we try to build up a wall, a shell around ourselves to protect ourselves. And we'll say many times, well, I don't care what nobody thinks about me. That's not really the truth. That's not really the truth. As humans, we do care what others think of us, and that's why it hurts so bad. We do care what they think of us. We do care what they think of our families. And that's why it hurts so bad. We care what our families think of us as humans. But we're going to a place where we're not going to have to deal with people who don't like us. In heaven, there's going to be nobody hating you in heaven. And so that ought to also tell you here, if you're sitting around hating people, then you ain't going. Because there ain't going to be no hatred there. And friends, stepping past the pearly gates ain't what's going to change you. It's got to be the word of God, that hidden manna we're eating from, has got to be what's changing us now in this life, preparing us for that life. We have complexes. Some of it comes about like what I mentioned, because people don't like you. And if you're not careful, you develop a complex. Got to overcome that complex. How do you overcome a complex of people not liking you? Because there are people who love you. Quit focusing on the ones who don't. Focus on the ones who do love you. You remember the story about that judge that he had to. There was a man in the town that had committed, a murder. And the town was against the judge, said, you better not bring judgment down against him. And the judge had to do what he had to do by the law. And after he'd done it, the town rose up and said, we hate you. Threatened him and everything else. You know what that judge's words was? You might hate me, but I'm loved at home. I often think about that. And when I think about that, friends, I'm not thinking of it in a carnal sort of thought of my home as far as my family. I'm thinking about my heavenly home. I'm loved at home. He said that he went away to prepare a place for me, that where he is, there I may be also. God loves you. God cares about you. That's how you overcome those things. What the problem is, many times we try to overcome it intellectually by telling us things like, I don't care what they think about me. That's trying to overcome it intellectually. I can just see how this is leading into something I've got to get to. Brother Branham, something I was studying out this morning, sitting back in the office, Brother Branham showed how a man that seemed like utterly hated him, Brother Branham said, that's why we got boys dying over in Korea for, so that anybody can believe what they want to believe. That was Mr. Best, but we'll get to him. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, will I give him power over the nations. You got to keep going. Even when you don't feel like it. And friends, many times as humans, we don't feel like it. You got to suck it up. Well, if I do this or that, if I go here or there, it'll affect me. Well, quit letting it affect you. Change. Quit letting people around you affect you. That's a mental battle. And if you're letting them affect you, then you're losing the mental battle. But you can't fight, even though the devil chose the mind as the battleground, you can't fight him on his own terms. That's why I keep telling you, you can't overcome by intellect. You can't reason with the devil and come out an overcomer. Say, well, what do I do? Quit giving him the time of day. Recognize the devil and his tactics. And I know as humans many times, and I said this in the past services, many times humans, before we realize it, a thought gets interjected and our minds drifted on that thought. And then it gets to making us feel bad. But at some point you realize, wait a minute, why am I thinking about this? And that's when you say, well, I'm not going to think on this no more. If I got to start singing the songs of glory to get that out of my mind, I'm going to do it. If I got to break into song in the middle of Walmart, I'll do it. Say, well, then people think I'm crazy. Friends, there's a lot of crazy people out there, believe you me. I see sometimes people dressed in such crazy ways, and I think, what in the world? How did you look in the mirror this morning and think you looked good? It's because they lost in the mind somewhere. You know, Brother Branham's statement that he said before the end time, people will go totally insane. That becomes more and more of a revelation. I begin to understand that more and more each day because I'm seeing people of the world doing things that the only way they could do it is if they've lost their mind. To a little function for Brother Jim, Sister Joyce last night. When I was leaving, I stopped by and went into the bathroom. And I walked into a stall, and there were some men walked in behind me, and one walking in the door, he said, is it just men in here? And the other one said, you know, you never know nowadays. What they said was right. That's how crazy it's got. In the news, some woman was suing the school because her son started identifying as some kind of animal, a cat or something. And the school wasn't recognizing that, so she was going to sue them. Insane. How do we overcome these battles of the mind? By the word. You're hearing word this morning to help you to battle these things and overcome. That when you walk out of these doors and this coming week you face whatever it is you've got to face, let this message and the message that's been preached on overcoming, let that come back through you and go through your mind. Only do that if you receive it into your heart and believe it. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. Keepeth my works to the end while I give power over the nations. There's coming a time in the millennium, friends, where the Bible teaches that God's people will be ruling the nation. That isn't why I want to go. I don't want to go so that I can rule over nations. I don't want to go so I can be ruling over people. I want to go because I love the Lord. Because he saved my soul. He could have let me went the way of the world. But he stopped me. He arrested me. Sometimes it seems like we're bent on to our own destruction. But God rescues you. Rescues you from yourself. Hallelujah. That overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. As I said earlier, there's going to be people whose names are blotted out of the book of life, like as if they never existed. And I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Oh, hallelujah. We confess Jesus before man, but he confesses us before the Father and before the angels. Who did you die for, Jesus? I died for Jerry. I died for Todd. I died for, and he just goes through confessing your names. Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you what, that'll change your thinking. When I was meditating on this message this morning, it was coming to me the thoughts about, you know, how it battles our minds and so forth and all this. I was reminded of Brother John LaFontaine. He used to call it stinking thinking. devil loves to try to get your to torment you. Get your mind dwelling on things that is going to just torment you to death. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. You know what that really means? Friends, when the day of judgment comes, you won't be standing before the judgment seat. You'll be seated in the judgment seat. So the Bible says, know ye not that the saints shall judge even the angels? You've passed from death unto life, not to come into the judgment. On the day of judgment, you're going to be sitting up here on this side. Not down in front of it. Your past sins aren't going to be flashed on the screens of the sky because they've been blotted out. Hallelujah. Devil comes and tries to torment you with thoughts of your past sins and your life. Friends, remember this, that's been blotted out. Yeah, sure. Why? Because the devil chooses those gates of the spirit to battle you in. There's your mind. And he tries to bring all these things to your memory. And in this life, you can't forget it. You could be doing something. Next thing you know, all of a sudden your mind's on a past sin that you had did. A past act that you committed. And if someone was to stop you right there and say, how did your mind get on that? You'd have to say, you know, I don't know. It just came from out of nowhere. Remember I said the devil, he studied man from the beginning. And he studies you from the time of your birth right on through your life. And he knows. He can watch by the things you're doing. He can watch by the things you look at. I just looked at a toothbrush, and the next thing you know, I'm on some kind of past thought. Devil's learns you. Oh, his mind's wondering right now. Let me inject this. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. You know, a lot of people in this life, they hope in some that they got some rich relative somewhere that when they die is going to leave them a lot of money and a lot of possessions. But you know, all them things are going to burn. I was reading in the news this morning, and you know about the fires that's been going on over in Hawaii. And there was a picture that was in the news of this lone house. I can't pronounce the name of the place. But this lone house, all the house's property all around it was ashes. But this lone house stood there with the red metal roof. And different ones were saying, well, the metal roof saved them. Well, they took 5 feet around their house, and they installed river rocks so there was no flammable shrubbery or anything around, right up around their house. They said, you know, that if people got shrubberies up around their house and fires start in other places, That's how many of the houses, it spreads from one house to another, is through the shrubberies and stuff. When I was first reading it, I thought, well, my goodness, I wouldn't want to be planting a lot of that stuff around my house. But they had these researchers that spoke. And they said, yeah, sure, the metal roof, yeah, sure, the rocks 5 foot around it and all that said, but look, friends, when the winds are prevailing just right and embers are flying, even that won't prevent it. They said what really prevented that one house from burning was just how the winds happened to blow around it. Whose hand could have done that? Who can control the winds? Hallelujah. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Tell you something, friends. There's many people in this life is proud to be somebody's son in this life. But the really only thing you really can be proud of is to be a son and daughter of God.
That's right.
It wasn't your earthly father's love that saved you. It wasn't your earthly mother's love that saved you. Oh, I love my mom and dad. You love your mom and dad. But there's only one love that saved us, and that was God's love. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. Well, I'm looking at the time, and my goodness, the time, minutes have been flying here. Exodus 15, verse 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. When you look that up in the Hebrew, the Lord that healeth thee, from that scripture, it's Jehovah Rapha. It's one of the seven compound names of Jehovah. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Turn me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. Every stripe that was laid on Jesus' back. Think about it, friends. What were they whipping him for?
Son of God? They thought he had blasphemed. Do we go around killing people because we thought they blasphemed? Look at what these men of that time took upon themselves. But every stripe that was put on his back was for your healing. That's what Peter was saying. Turn with me to Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus, or Christ Jesus. Our profession. Now, what does that mean, the high priest of our profession? What we profess, he professes. If we profess our healing, what are we doing? We're holding to his word. It's his promise. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but has in all points was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I'm not talking about intellectual faith. Doctor told me I've got this. I'm just not going to accept that. That's intellectual faith. That's trying to take mind over matter. Well, I'm just going to act like I don't got it. Go out and act like you're rich and see how far that takes you. Spend it like you got it, whether you do or don't. That's why they gave men credit cards. And if you're not careful, they'll get you into a lot of problems. That's what gets people into a lot of problems, because they spend it like they got it, and they don't. That's intellectualism. Doctor says you've got a sickness. Says you need to go on this medication. You know, I find a lot of people, you know, look, friends, if the doctor comes to you and tells you you've got cancer, then I'm going to tell you something. If God doesn't do something for you, you're going to die. But Brother Branham said, he gave doctors the wisdom that they've got and the understanding that they've got to help poor, suffering humanity. The doctor said, I got high blood pressure. I'm just not going to take my high blood pressure medicine. That's intellectual faith, and that'll kill you. You can't just pretend you don't have something. That's not what faith and receiving healing is. I remember going to the church with my dad back
97. And we'd meet every morning at the church, have prayer, and then he would go in the office. And you know, the building they got up there now, we had just got that building. So there was many things to do. We had a problem with water laying up under the church. We had to dig a hole and put a sump pump in. And my dad and I were out there doing that. But when we met there to do these different things, we'd go up and have prayer first. And I would take a place at the altar, he would take a place at the altar, and we would just pray. And Dad told me sometime during then that he had been praying, God, heal me from my diabetes. He hated having diabetes. He tried to tell the doctor, I ain't got diabetes. And the doctor said, you're going to have to take this medicine. And he said, well, one day you'll have to take me off of this medicine.
That's right.
I'll take it. One day you're going to take me off of it. Well, no doubt, my dad was looking for some kind of miracle touch. That all of a sudden the doctor would just tell him, I don't know what's happened. All of a sudden, man, you don't need those pills no more. But that's not what happened. And while he was praying and seeking God and saying, God, I've asked you to heal me. He told me, here's what he said. He said while he was praying, he said pictures came up in his mind of McDonald's French fries and other things that he had been eating. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I've already healed you, but you're not eating right. Oh, remember what I've told you about overcoming? Brother Ram said, there's some things you've got to do. You've got to overcome. Friends, we're living in a cursed body. Let me just tell you something a little bit about diabetes. Diabetes is your body becomes resistant to the insulin that your body's supposed to produce to remove the sugar from out of your blood. And some people's bodies don't produce enough insulin. So they end up having to take insulin shots. And some people's bodies, certain organs start just dumping the sugar. And so they give you medication to stop that organ from just dumping the sugar into your blood. That's because we live in these cursed bodies. They're dying. But remember this. Once we get a new body, we won't need divine healing. But now we need it. He said, I've healed you, but you're not eating right. And so my dad, over the years, started watching more of what he was eating. And as he started watching more of what he was eating, he would go back to the doctor, and the doctor started taking him off medication. You don't need this no more. You know why? Because if you're on medication that's more medication you need, what's going to happen is it's going to drop your blood sugar lower than what it's supposed to be. And then you're going to have problems there. Because your mind needs sugar in the blood in order to function. And if your sugar drops too low, your mind doesn't want to function right. It's a real balanced out thing. Look at what the Creator done with this body. But Adam and Eve didn't have McDonald's down on the corner.
They didn't have Dunkin' Donuts. Come on now. How come we didn't hear about Adam and Eve having diabetes? Well, before the fall, they were in perfect bodies that functioned right. That's our problem. We're in bodies that sometimes don't want to function right. But some people, friends, here, Brother Bram always says this. He says, check your motives and objectives. And it's something I'm always saying about everything you do, check your motive and objective. If the reason you don't want to have diabetes is so you can sit down and eat an entire pie, then you have got the wrong thinking. Your profession. I believe God's healed me. I'll tell you what, friends. About a year, a little over a year ago, I realized how my thinking was on diabetes. And you know, I was thinking, well, why test it? If I test it, it's just going to be high. So why test it? See, the doctors want you to test your blood sugar. So every so many times a day or whatever. So you can see where it's at. And I thought, well, what in the world I need to see where it's at? It's just going to be high. And I ate whatever I wanted to eat. And I went into the doctor. My blood sugar was through the roof. And it caused other things in my body. You know, it caused my triglycerides to be high. And they said, that's going to cause you to have pancreatitis. So if I'm doing things that I know is, if I'm intentionally doing things that I know is going to hurt my body, then what do you think about that? See, some people want healing for the wrong motive. They want it for the wrong reason. And when you've got the wrong motive, you can't have faith. So I made up my mind a little over a year ago. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to do this. Last time I went in and saw a specialist for blood sugar, she looked at me and she said, my blood sugar was 4.7, the A1C. She said, yours is lower than mine and I'm not a diabetic. We got to start taking you off some of this medication. God's healing. But I started getting the right motivation. Right. Know ye not that ye are a temple of the Lord?
Right.
Well, I had no idea. What time is it? Oh, man, we're going to have to close. We're going to have to come back to this. Hallelujah. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, the God that healeth us. He's not just Jehovah Rapha, but he was Jehovah. He's present tense, Jehovah Rapha. He's still this morning is talking about overcoming your sicknesses, overcoming your diseases. Sure, I'm professing my healing, but not so that I can go to the Cheesecake Factory and eat a big old slice of cheesecake. That's the wrong motivation. Excuse me, I didn't mean motivation, I meant motive. That's the wrong motive. I want God to heal me because God never intended for me to be this way. This isn't how He made me. This isn't how He created us. This is man's fault. Because they chose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's why we are where we are. Condemnation by representation. Let's stand. I'm looking at the time, and it just went by so fast, and I was excited about some other stuff I've got right here in my notes, things that I was studying in the back before I came out here. I told my wife on the way to church, I said, I'm a little bit sad. I said, I think maybe this might be the last part in this particular series. Not surprised. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. Oh Lord, the wisdom of God. Lord, Your wisdom so far surpasses ours. Lord, I think, Father, of times, Lord, how that I viewed things wrong. Lord, it was because, Lord, many times we look at things carnally and we're thinking we're trying to look at it spiritually, but we're actually trying to have faith through a carnal mind. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for telling us, Lord, through Your prophet, we're going to have things to overcome. And that's why You said these promises to the overcomer. And if we didn't have something to overcome, then something that we had to struggle with and overcome, then how could we be an overcomer? But Lord, these things, many times that we don't want to face, we take the wrong attitude about them. Instead of realizing that they're actually opportunities for us to be overcomers. You said to the overcomer, and then You give us opportunities to overcome. And Lord, and You give us what we need to overcome with. You give us the Holy Ghost. You give us Your word. And we can stand fast on that. Bless Your people this morning, dear God. Bless them, Father, as they go about their evening, their afternoon and evening, Lord. You've prepared them, Father, for the week that is ahead to come. Bless them, I pray.